we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. And you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we are just so thankful to be a part of this great community and all that God is doing. And just want to take an opportunity to invite you out to our Sunday morning services. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and visit Merritt Assembly of God and see if it's a place where God would divinely place you so that you could be established and grow and thrive in your relationship with God in the service that and ministry that he has for you. We're not the world's largest church. We do try and compete for the world's friendliest church. We may not always make it, but we do strive to accomplish that goal. But we also try and help people to grow in their faith. We'd love to have you come and check us out. We have ministries for every age group. We have children's church on Sunday morning. We have youth group. We have a youth Sunday school class. We have youth group on Sunday nights that we'll be meeting this week. We have adult Bible studies where on Wednesday nights we're going through the book of Ephesians right now. We have boys ministry on Wednesday night, girls ministry, several different girls classes. And we would just be honored if you would care to join us in worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we do want to thank you for being a part of this program. And also, on December the 10th, which is not that far away, just a little over 10 days from now, we are going to be celebrating our 25th anniversary as senior pastors of the church there, 165 North Grove Street. And if you're part of the radio congregation, this is my personal invitation to you to come and join us for that celebration. My pastor, Pastor Terry Rayburn, is going to be speaking that day. A great man of God, an encourager, a man of great wisdom and insight, and still striving. He is the youngest guy that I know with all of the experience that he has. He is just a fantastic, fantastic man. You will not hear me criticize or complain against my pastor, and you should hope that I don't hear you criticize or complain about my pastor if there are people who are inclined to do that. I don't find that that's a winning strategy from Ford, shall we speak. I feel like if we give honor to those whom honor is due, that is the path to blessing that God has for us. And so that's coming up December the 10th, and pray that you'll put that on your calendar. We're looking forward to that. I don't know everything that is planned that day, but our worship service will start at 10:30, and then we will see what happens from there. So today I want to talk to you. We've been talking a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. I want to take a little bit of a turn before we get too much in depth in the study of the fruit of the Spirit being faithfulness, because you need to understand what the standard of that is, and that standard is God's faithfulness for us. And so we're going to address a little bit about what it's like to be unfaithful. We are living in a day and time where there are literally forces at work that the scriptures tell us plainly that those forces increase the number of unfaithful people on the planet. And so that is a bad thing for them. It is a bad thing for those who are related to them. It is a bad thing for their friends. It is a bad thing for their employers who count on them. And so I want to share with you a little bit about unfaithfulness and We'll probably do a couple of broadcasts on this. I'm not going to exhaust every radio program with just one passage of scripture, because I have 72 different verses that I want to talk about. And so if we just did one a day, we're going to be here for a long, long time. So we're going to try and touch on these things, expound on them, so that you can see that you do not want unfaithfulness in your life. Okay. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to turn to Leviticus chapter 26. A lot of people look at Leviticus and see, you know, that's, if you started your Bible reading plan in Genesis, you did okay through Genesis because it was narrative. You did okay through Exodus because it was largely narrative. But then you hit Leviticus, and it has to do with the Levitical law, and all of a sudden that it doesn't go as easily and smoothly as the other books have. And a lot of people, their commitment to read the Bible through in a year, it ends when they hit Leviticus. So I want to take you to Leviticus chapter 26. I'm not going to read the whole passage of Scripture, but let me begin reading. Where shall we start reading? Let's begin reading at verse number 30. It says, "I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols." That's not a warm and encouraging word. "And my soul shall abhor you." I'm telling you, it's not an encouraging word from the Lord there. "I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it." Verse number 36. "And as for those who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as it were before a sword when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in their enemies' lands, also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away." Now listen to this. "But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness to which they were unfaithful to me, that they also have walked contrary to me and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they have despised my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord." That's verse number 45. So what God was doing for the children of Israel was he was laying out the consequences of unfaithfulness before they had ever entered into the promised land. He was telling them that even though it was to be their land forever, if their unfaithfulness to him began to manifest, that it was going to have a detrimental effect and they would find themselves on the outside of the promised land looking in. Instead of being blessed, they would find themselves in the land of their enemies, that they would be in captivity, and that the land would be receiving the blessing that it was supposed to receive under their watchful hand, but instead they abused it. And so I want to tell you that unfaithfulness to God has a price tag. It absolutely has a price tag. It is not something to be winked at. Sin is not something to be trivialized. It is something that you and I need to take very seriously, because it is not just the children of Israel who experienced consequences from being unfaithful to God. It is you and I as well. If we are unfaithful to God, we are going to experience great hardship in life. And so Leviticus 26 begins to lay out all of those things. It will affect the attitude that God has towards us, that he's not going to bless sin. And so even though he remains the Lord God, it says that he will deal with us in a manner that will eventually bring us to that place of repentance. You see, the children of Israel had a cycle. They would start out with God, he would bless them, then they would begin to take that relationship for granted. They would fall into sin, they would end up in captivity, there they would repent, and then they would start the cycle all over again. God would restore them, they would be blessed, they would backslide, they'd be in captivity, they would repent, and around and around and around they would go. And so God here in verse number 40 of Leviticus chapter 26 says, "But if they confess their iniquity, their rebellion against me, and the iniquity of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me." You see, God wants to have an exclusive relationship with you and I. He's not looking for a one-night stand. He's not looking for a one-morning stand where you just come up and say a prayer and say, good, I got my name written down, and now I can go out and live the way that I want to. No, you see, in my Thanksgiving message, I talked about that the kingdom of heaven rejoices when there is a change of possession, where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. There needs to be not just a change of spiritual condition, but a change in spiritual leadership, where God is the Lord. He is the sovereign. He rules and he reigns. And if you want to see greater reason to give thanks to God in your life, I encourage you to give him more and more dominion, not just your Sunday mornings. Give him dominion over your emotions. Give him a dominion and let him rule and reign in your finances, in your relationships. Let him rule and reign in your mortal body. May the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead quicken your mortal body. The more areas that we surrender to his lordship, the greater our praise and worship and our thanksgiving for him is going to be. God says, if you and I will repent of our iniquity, and if we will repent of our unfaithfulness with which we were unfaithful to God, God takes it very personal that they have walked contrary to me. He said, I'm going to hear from heaven. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. He will heal their land. That's a paraphrase, shortened version. I want you to know that no matter if you've been unfaithful to God, God says if you will repent, if you will confess, if you will acknowledge that it's had a detrimental effect upon you and had a detrimental effect upon me and our relationship, if you will repent of that, we will see a change of direction. Okay, God does not trivialize unfaithfulness. It is not just a new modern lifestyle. It is still a consequential action. If you turn over to the next book, you're going to find Numbers chapter 5. I'm not going to read this whole passage of scripture here. But I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11, Numbers chapter 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, If any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there is no witness against her, nor was she caught, if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, and it goes on and on and on. And so I want to talk to you about this situation, because if we are unfaithful to God, it will only be a matter of time before other covenant relationships begin to manifest with unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness in a covenant relationship between a man and a woman is one of the most painful things that human beings will go through. If you have ever been betrayed by someone that you trusted and that you loved and they were unfaithful to you, you understand how painful that is. Now, if you can take that reality, that acknowledgement, that feeling, and you multiply that times, say roughly 20 billion. There's roughly 7 billion people on the planet right now. There's probably double that number that have lived in the history of mankind. And so if you magnify that feelings of what it is like when a person was unfaithful to you, then you begin to understand what it is like for God, who is had so many people who were unfaithful to him. That relationship, that violation of trust, is not something that God ever intended to be the norm for any society and the relationships that they have. Now, I want you to know that God has paid the price. In fact, I've done sermons out of this passage of scripture that he was willing to pay the price for our unfaithfulness. He died for my unfaithfulness and your unfaithfulness. He drank the cup and received the curses upon himself so that we would not have to, because he knew that we were guilty. So, if you and I do not want to have people to be unfaithful to us, then we need to sow the seed of faithfulness into our relationship with God, and we need to sow the seeds of faithfulness into our relationships with other people. Okay? You need to be faithful. We'll talk about some of these applications. Faithfulness is designed to impact your work ethic. Your faithfulness is designed to affect your finances. It is a far-reaching attitude. It is the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to produce in us that will, if I can put it this way, it will influence and impact the way that you think, the way that you act, the words that you say. It will just reach extensively into every area of your life. Okay, so none of us want to experience unfaithfulness where we are the victims. Let's make sure that we start off by being faithful to God ourselves. Now, I will tell you this. Unfaithfulness is a spiritual problem. That's why it takes the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness, to remedy that situation. It's a spiritual problem, okay? There's been a lot in the news here over the past several months about people who all of a sudden it's being shouted from the rooftops about their unfaithfulness. You know, I don't want that declaration for you. I don't want that declaration for me. So let's maintain our relationship with God, because He is the source of faithfulness, and he is the standard of faithfulness. So let's allow him to manifest faithfulness in us. Let me take you one more place today, and that's the book of 2 Chronicles. I want you to know that unfaithfulness is not simply an Old Testament issue. It's a New Testament issue as well. It's not just a biblical issue. It's a contemporary issue. Unfaithfulness is never content with the devastation that it's already wreaked in one area of your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and I really wish that we could appreciate this. There was a king in Israel by the name of Ahaz, not Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel, they were unfaithful kings of the northern tribes, but this is the king of Judah, and his name is Ahaz, A-A-A-Z as in zebra. And 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 22 says this, "Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, 'Because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me.' But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel." So listen to this. "So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from first to last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of Jerusalem, but they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel." Listen to this. "Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place." I will simply tell you this about Hezekiah, in case we don't get to it at the end of the broadcast today. Out of the increasing unfaithfulness of Ahaz, there was a child who came to the throne who was one of the most impactful kings that Israel or that Judah ever had, and his name was Hezekiah. He was faithful to the Lord. He was not perfect, but it was a tremendous improvement. There was stark contrast between Ahaz and Hezekiah. So Ahaz, because he had been unfaithful to the Lord, he began to experience the consequences of his unfaithfulness. He ended up being defeated by the king of Syria. And he, instead of repenting when there had been consequences, he embraced what he thought was the source of the victor's strength. He thought that by embracing Syrian gods, that they would strengthen him and they would bless him. And he went all in into his idolatry, and his unfaithfulness just increased over and over and over again, to the point that he, listen to what it said. It said that he gathered the articles of the house of God. He cut them in pieces. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and replaced the altar of God with altars to all of these other idols. And in every single city in Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods to provoke the anger of the Lord God of his fathers. So he completely abandoned. He blamed his defeat not on his unfaithfulness, but he blamed his defeat upon God. He said, "There must be a better God out there that will let me live the way that I want to, detest the commandments that I want to detest, and will yet still provide me victory and favor and blessing at every turn." I want you to understand today that if we are unfaithful to God, he will still be faithful. He can't deny himself, but we will not experience his blessings. If we reject his commandments, we reject his provision. That's the way unfaithfulness works. You don't get to go and do whatever you want to, and then expect that God is still going to continue to provide you with all of that spiritual victory. Unfaithfulness leaves us uncovered spiritually. And that is a position that the devil will be more than glad to take advantage of us in. So please, please do not allow unfaithfulness to increase in your life. Instead, if you have experienced consequences for unfaithfulness, I encourage you to repent instead of abandoning. And so there are many people in society right now. They are mad at God. They are mad at God's people. They are mad at God's word. They are mad at anything that even resembles God. And since man was created in the image of God, they're mad at everybody. And many times the problems can really trace back to unfaithfulness. If it wasn't unfaithfulness on their part, it was unfaithfulness on someone else's part. I'm not giving a complete and total blanket that if there's something bad going on in your life, that it's because of unfaithfulness, because that's not scriptural. There are sometimes bad things that happen because we live in a fallen world. What I am saying is if you've been unfaithful, you know it. You know it. You might want to try and make an excuse for it. You might try and relabel it an affair when God called it an adultery. Don't do that. Like I say, if you've been unfaithful, don't make an excuse for it. Repent of it. Because just like we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast today, God is willing to forgive even unfaithfulness. Where mankind is wanting to cut off people for unfaithfulness, God's arms are stretched wide open, and he's saying, if you will repent, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Father, I pray that you would find us, Lord, not increasing in unfaithfulness, but, Lord, repenting of it. And then I pray that you will find us producing with ever-increasing measure the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. Lord, not just in our church, but in every area of our life. I pray, God, that you would find us increasing in faithfulness for your glory. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.